campus mi utlita punt sebajina Colin Fitz dan uwa minajnejn barranin l-lum edizjoni sajfija se jkolli zewċ intervisti ma personalitajiet barranin se jgħatu l-opinjoni tagħhom dwar Malta ma huma persuni li kellhom biss esperjenza qasira ta' pajjiżna però għandhom ħajja interessanti ħafna wieħed huwa mużiċist u lieħor huwa xjentist. Tnejn li huma żaru lil pajjiżna u nitkellem magħhom dwar il-ħajja tagħhom il-karriera u ħafna stejjer interessanti oħra. Mela l-ewwel ħanitkellem ma' Fabrice Qualiotti, mużiċist Franċiż imma li huwa bbażat l-Italja li fis-snin 80 kien kiseb suċċess kbir mal-grupp Rockets, fil-fatt it-Taljani jsejħulhom i mitiċi Rockets. Il-grupp għadu għaddej, Fabrice Qualiotti għadu jgħamil il-mużika u għadu jgħati kunċerti flimkien mal-grupp tiegħu. Nitkellmu ftit dwar dawn l-aspetti kollha ta' ħajtu minn hawn ftit ieħor.
Mela, Party Queen, element forsi ta' mużika simili għal tal-famużi Daft Punk, il-grupp Franċiż li għamil suċċess kbir f'dawn l-aħħar 10-15 sena, u Daft Punk huma nfushom kienu influenzati mill-grupp Rockets, illi l-membru tal-grupp Rockets Fabrice Qualiotti ħankellmu issa fuq 103.7. Hemmhekk smajna Rockets u Party Queen. U dal-waqt ta' nisimgħu aktar mużika tar-Rockets kif ukoll ta' Fabrice Qualiotti nnifsu mill-album tiegħu Parallel Worlds li huwa album ta' mużika elettronika u l-artisti Franċiżi nafu nies bħala Jean-Michel Jarre pereżempju li huma esperti ta' din it-tip ta' mużika. Kien hemm grupp ieħor jismu Space ukoll kellhom diska bħal Magic Fly li għamlu suċċessi kbar. U mbagħad sabejna Daft Punk, ġifieri il-Franċiżi jispeċjalizzaw f'din it-tip ta' mużika spazjali, mużika elettronika. Però Fabrice Qualiotti qiegħed fuq il-linja. Bonġu, good morning Fabrice.
Hello guys.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Fabrice Qualiotti, all the way in Italy. Where are you in Italy at the moment?
I'm living in Como.
Como?
So, in the north of Italy.
Near the beautiful lake.
Yeah, really. It's a nice place.
Let's start from the very beginning, Fabrice. You are half Italian, half French?
I'm French.
You are French.
I'm French, but my... grandfather were from Valle d'Aosta,
Italy.
So the the same for my grandmother. She was from Turin. So I'm half Italian, half French.
And your first language obviously is French, but you know
French.
Italian very well because you've been living in Italy for a long time, and you have an Italian wife. Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, Paola.
But my English is really rusty.
Yes, but it's okay. I'm sure we'll manage to understand you. And if you get stuck, just say it in Italian because most Maltese people understand Italian because we are so close as a country.
Ah, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about your childhood and your upbringing in France, where you are from, and your first experiences in music.
Yeah, so I'm born in Paris, okay, and when I was five years old, I always listening music because my parents always listening music from classical music until Shadows, and I remember one of the first songs that I listened, it was Apache, and it is very strange because the Rockets make the cover of Apache, okay?
Yes, a disco version almost in 1976.
Yeah, exactly. And 13 years, my parents bought me an organ, and I began to study organ in a conservatory in Paris. Mm-hmm. Then, at about 16 years, I make my first band. It was a progressive band called Sexagon.
Progressive and, rock.
Yeah, because in this moment I was always listening Genesis, David Bowie, Rolling Stones. So I really love progressive music. And then at 17 years I make another band. It was Xerus. with Rosarico Bono. Rosarico Bono was my old friend, and it's actually the best player of Rockets. Then the big experience with the Rockets when I was 19 years old.
19 years old. This was at the end of the 70s, and you joined them after their first album, I think.
Yeah. I joined Rockets during the album On the Road Again, and the first song I record with them it was On the Road Again.
Now, this is a very important song for Rockets. It was an electronic version of a classic American rock song called On the Road Again. And it was the first song that got you attention. I've read even that it used to be played in nightclubs, even in London, by DJs such as Rusty Egan of Visage, the Blitz nightclub where New Romantic music was born. They used to play some of your Rockets music, like Space Rock and On the Road Again, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And it was also released in America. But the biggest success that Rockets had was in with two albums, Plasteroid and Galaxy, in 79 and 80. And of all places, it was in Italy. Why was the success in Italy?
Italy and Russia.
Italy and Russia. Even in Soviet times.
Yeah. Why, I really don't know. I think The reason is that in Italy we found two very important person. Mm-hmm. We believe in our project. It was Maurizio Canici of the CGD and Maurizio Salvadori of the Trident. Trident Agency was the biggest agency tour in Italy.
I see.
And when you found somebody who believe in what you do, it's easy to have success.
CGD was a record company, yes?
A record company, yes.
So they promoted you?
A lot, really a lot. And we have success because they make a very big promotion. And it's very important. You can have the best product or the best music here. If nobody make promotion, nobody know you. So
yes.
It's very important, the promotion.
Of course. And in 1980, you were voted the best foreign band in Italy in front of Pink Floyd. You got the Telegatto. They gave you the Oscar for music as well. You had huge concerts with laser shows and legendary shows. The Italians, they call it Legendari, Mitici, Rockets, Argentati with the silver spray.
Yeah.
Was that something that you enjoyed? I mean, wearing the costumes, or it was like Kiss or Queen, you know, wearing special costumes. It was the era where costumes were popular for rockers. But maybe some critics did not take you seriously because of the costumes.
I think that people who say that it's not serious, it's stupid person, because nobody say that Freddie Mercury was not serious.
Of course.
And he have costume. David Bowie too.
Yes.
I think it's to have costume. It's a way to do to present a project different on stage.
Yes.
We make space music. Okay. I think that the show must be like your music.
Yes.
You can make. It was impossible to make the rocket music at this moment with a blue jean and t-shirt. I think it was ridiculous.
Oh, yes, of course, the kind of electronic music. So you had instrumental songs which sounded like Jean-Michel Jarre. You had space rock songs that sounded like Pink Floyd, but they were your own songs. They were unique. They were very, in my opinion, very, very good. But perhaps the fact that the singing in English, but with a strange accent, was not good enough for the British and American market.
Yeah.
So absolutely. you tried to get a new vocalist in 1984, yes?
Sal Solo.
Sal
yeah,
Solo,
yeah, yeah.
Who came to Malta with Classics Nouveau
yes.
In 1982.
Yeah. But I meet Sal Solo. I remember that Claude Lemoine talk me about Sal Solo. Then I forget it, and it was a strange moment. And I write to Sal Solo, talking about the Rockets project, and he told me we can meet him, we can meet him. And I fly to London. I meet Sal.
And Sal had the shaved hair as well, like the Rockets.
Yeah, no, it was shaved, but the bald head. Yeah,
like Kojak.
Yeah. and he enjoyed the music, and we decide to begin a new project with always with Rockets, and we call him Rockets with a Z at the end, right?
Because
and so he became the
singer.
And the singer, the Rockets. I really love the voice of Sal Solo. It's very particular.
Yes.
And obviously it's English, so the accent is perfect.
And he had one big song, Under the Sun, which was shown at Sanremo Festival as well.
Under the Sun, yeah.
But yes. Unfortunately, still outside of Italy, you did not get so much publicity, so much success.
No.
So Rockets kind of faded away. Then you brought them back later on, and you have a new version of Rockets now, and you're the only original member.
I'm the original only one. It's 20, I'm 20% of the Rockets.
Yes.
But I talk about of that with Claude Lemoine. And
Claude was the producer, yes?
Yes, and because I was interested in the what he thinks about my new way. And I continue with the name Rockets because musically I'm born with the Rockets, okay?
Yes.
And for me it was important to continue to give a, not give a chance, but to continue to have the name Rockets in the for the music. It was important for me.
To keep the Rockets name alive, yes?
Yes. Because we have many fans, and for me it was important that it's not the name Rockets. It's not a advantage because when you say Rockets, I remember Rockets. It's not good.
They think of the silver years, and perhaps they're not used. You still dress in space clothes, but not so much. You don't shave your hair anymore, and you don't look like aliens.
No.
Now, okay, let's hear some music. If you can stay on the line, Fabrice. We're going to hear the Rockets' biggest hit, Galactica. It was a very big hit here in Malta as well. This was the time when on television you had Goldrake and space robots fighting each other in the cartoons. You had Star Trek, you had Star Wars in the cinema. And then on the radio you had the space music of Rockets with Galactica. So we're going to listen to Galactica, and then we'll continue talking and we'll talk about your album, Parallel Worlds, okay?
Okay.
So stay on the line, please.
Okay. How it all began.
From Rockets, you can imagine everybody dancing like a robot at the time. This is a song from 1980. It was a song that sounded like the future. And then around this time also other songs came, you know, Soft Cell, Eurythmics, all this electronic music. We had Kraftwerk already. It was a very interesting time where everything was about robots and the future, and the synthesizer changed everything. Do you agree, Fabrice Quagliotti?
Yes, obviously. It was like that.
It was an exciting time for music, I think. You were creating new sounds. It was like, okay, Pink Floyd, David Bowie had experimented with synthesizers before, but then it was in the end of the 70s and early 80s where the sound of the synthesizer was being mixed with pop and rock music to make these strange new parallel worlds, as you called your new album. It must have been a very exciting time.
Yeah, but during the 80s, people was really happy.
Uh-huh.
The economy was growing a lot.
Uh-huh.
And while the economy is growing a lot, people spend money, people is happy. It's not... Now it's really different.
At the moment, people are...
Unfortunately, yeah.
But it's nice to remember, but also it's nice that you are still making music and that you have this, your first solo album called Parallel Worlds, which is, is coming from your heart, I think. You've put your heart and soul into it. It represents everything that Fabrice Quagliotti, ex-member of the Rockets, and now solo artist, it represents everything that you've ever believed in and everything that you've followed in the world of music, I think. What do you say?
Yes, the Parallel Worlds is, like you said before, it's my first album solo, and it really represents me. It's this album, it's me. From the, I'm can be sweet, I can be hard, I can be strong. Sfaccettature. I don't remember.
Facets, I think, of your personality in English. I'm in the background we are hearing
facets.
Music.
Yes, facets.
Facets, yeah. Facets, yes. In the background we are hearing aspects, we are hearing parts of the album as we talk. So it's an instrumental, electronic instrumental music album. And it has titles such as Alchemy, So Long Major Tom, which is your tribute to David Bowie, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Major Tom was, it was a person created by David Bowie. It was an astronaut, a junkie astronaut. Uh-huh. And in the 71, with the Space Oddity, David Bowie was really creating space songs for the world.
Yes,
and I really love David Bowie, and so it was for me normal to dedicate a song.
Yes, he opened up the imaginations of millions of people around the world. Even here in Malta, he had many fans. Yeah, it was very really sad when he passed away. There is a song called Friends, which is a collaboration with your French friend, Frédéric Rousseau, who was also a member of Jean-Michel Jarre's band, I think.
Yes, Frédéric Rousseau, first of all, we were friends when we were 5 years old. Okay, so it's long, long time ago. Uh-huh. And we were friends for 5 years, and for many situations, I changed school. I don't see anymore Frédéric. And I meet him again 10 years after in a synthesizer shop in Paris. I was with a bald head, and he was with long hair and beard. And I see him, he see me, and after 1 minute, but you're Fab, yes, you're Fred, yes, oh my God, fantastic. And what did you do? I say, I am with the Rockets, and you? I play with Jean-Michel Jarre. So it's a really parallel world, because two friends, two kids, friends, they meet that. They meet after 10 years. They made the same work, the musician, okay? They play the same instrument, keyboards, and they record the same kind of music, electronic music. So it was fantastic.
Yes.
The reason why when I became to record my album, Fire Words, I called Frédéric. I said, Fred, we never played together. It's incredible. So I want to have you on my album. And he say, sure, 100% we have to do. And I send the piano party, okay? I record the piano and a couple of synths. And I say, Fred, this is a song. You have to keep piano and these two synthesizers. You can do all the rest you want, okay? And he sent me all the arrangement of Friends. And after 3 weeks, Fred called me again, and he told me, did you have a place in your album for another song? Why? Because I have an idea. Okay, if you have an idea, you put two songs, it's okay. And he did the same. He sent me the track of the piano and the drum, and he said, this is a song. You can do all you know what
you want.
He
did the same to you.
So I make all the arrangement, all the melody, and Strange Loop.
Wonderful.
It's a very, very nice collaboration for me. It's very important collaboration.
There's also a song called Tovarish Gagarin, which is about the space exploration and the Russian cosmonaut. As you said, your music is popular in Russia.
No, it's not for that. It's because when I was kid, I want to do or musician of astronaut. Okay, it was two possibilities. Astronaut, it was too difficult, really.
That's right. But it says on your.
But and I remember I was so too young, but I always remember in the 61.
Yes.
When Yuri Gagarin go in the first man to go in space, It's very important because it was the first one. It wasn't the second or third. No, the first. So it's
the first man
for
in space.
Me, it
yes.
was a, yeah, it was important to dedicate a song, a track, not a song.
I understand.
To Yuri Gagarin.
And to conclude about Parallel Worlds, which is available for sale, is it on Spotify as well?
Oh, well, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Spotify,
so
iTunes, all the. Everywhere you
Fabrice Pascal Coagliotti and yeah. Parallel Worlds is the name of the album. There's a song there called Song of the Earth. Also with the Rockets, you had songs like In the Galaxy, which in 1980 had lyrics about climate change and global warming and pollution. So you've been a very long time, I think, a believer in the importance of taking care of our nature, of our world, yes?
For me, Wonderland exists. It's called Earth. We have the most beautiful thing in the world that exists. It's called the Earth, and people destroy it. It's incredible. It's
yes,
foolish.
It's terrible. Wonderland is the name of one of your Rockets albums.
Yeah.
Also, there is Songs of the Earth. It's this kind of music. It also is very beautiful music. It's very it's electronic, but it's very warm. It's not cold. It's warm electronic music that makes you perhaps think about not just space, but also our very own planet. Yes. Before we conclude, we're going to play a track from this album, Parallel Worlds, by Fabrice Pascal Coagliotti. The track is called Princess. It's dedicated to your wife, yes?
Yes. This song, I began to record a promo about 14 years old when I met Paola, my wife.
Yes.
And I began to compose, but I stopped because it was a... It was not okay for Rockets.
Uh-huh.
And I say, I keep here, and maybe further on I can record something by myself. And I use Prince. It's the first song I began to record on my album.
On Parallel Worlds.
And I love a lot this song because it's classical music. It's only piano,
yes,
and, violin, violoncello, master.
So we're going to be hearing Princess by Fabrice Pascal Coagliotti from his last album Parallel Worlds. Before you go, Fabrice, a message for the people of Malta listening in. Did you know about Malta? I mean, before I got in touch with you, what is your knowledge about my country?
Oh, Malta, I go in Malta, but I was really young. I was 17 years old, so a long time ago.
You came for holiday?
Because my parents tell me, oh, I go to Malta to learn English. But I speak French because it was many friends of mine with me, French. But it's very nice. It's very, very nice, and I hope to back in Malta. Why not?
Maybe we invite you to do a concert.
Interview face to face.
That would be great. Fabrice Pascal Coagliotti, okay. Your album Parallel Worlds. This is the song Princess. Thank you so much. Thank you.
U minn Fabrice Qualiotti, Franċis li jgħix l-Italja, li ġi Malta fis-snin 70, naddu għal personalità oħra. Ġi Malta ftit ta' snin ilu għal Science in the City, Mark the Science Guy, kont intervistajtu u hawnhekk għandi l-intervista ma' Mark għaliex naħseb li tajb li nerġgħu nisimgħuha huwa bniedem mimli enerġija u entużjażmu dwar it-tagħlim tax-xjenza. Ej nisimgħu l-intervista ma' Mark the Science Guy mill-Irlanda. From Ireland, it's Mark the Science Guy.
Thank you so much for bringing me here. I'm very excited. So thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to be in Malta. I'm having a fantastic time so far. And yeah, thank you for inviting me here.
Of course, the Big Bang Theory, right? It plays it plays on the famous cliche that science is a little bit boring. The cool people don't like science. The people who like science are aesthetically challenged. They've got crazy hair. They
have so politely put.
No sense of style. And yet here's Mark, who, ladies, and you know, anybody who there's a lot to fancy here in front of me. Young, trendy, good-looking, excellent hair. Mark, you're a science guy. You're meant to look like Einstein.
Well, firstly, I think I need you every morning to give me that kind of pump-up to start my day. That's the most enjoyable welcome I've ever had in my life, but thank you. Okay. And you're totally right. Firstly, Big Bang Theory, what a show. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly not much different than my college experience. There was a class of four. I studied theoretical physics. Ooh. So the exact same subject that the guys are studying, but of course, as you said, scientists can look like absolutely anyone. Yeah. Anyone can mm-hmm. be a scientist. And in fact, the more diverse people you have doing science, the better science is. Mm-hmm. Science is fun, it's practical, and it's super engaging, and it helps you with whatever your dreams are in life. So if you want to become a scientist, mm-hmm. great. But if not, if you want to become a footballer, a chef, whatever it is, we live in a world full of science and technology. Mm-hmm. So the more we understand how it works, the better we can use those things.
Exactly. And I'm seeing here on your website, for example, you've got a video here that talks about football physics, for example.
Exactly.
What's
because,
that all about?
Of course, I studied physics in university, but I also became a professional footballer in Ireland.
Oh, really?
So those were my two passions, physics and football, and not very different. In fact, I used to study the physics of how footballs fly through the air. So mm-hmm. how players like Ronaldo are able to get the ball to move really fast. Indeed. So we study the flight dynamics of a football. And then when you understand that, it can improve your performances. So I discovered firsthand playing football at a professional level how understanding science can help me play better. That's just not in football. It's in all sports and in all disciplines.
Absolutely.
So that's something that kids and anyone can understand, that the more you learn about science and how things work, the better you can do whatever it is you want to do, because science is the truth and the study of absolutely everything, and that includes things you love doing, like football.
There was a film once called Bend It Like Beckham, was it? And that's science, how he used to bend the ball into the corner of the net.
And that was the actual name of one of my research papers.
Oh, okay.
How to Bend It Like Beckham. It's an effect called the Magnus effect. So you curl the ball and it feels a force curling it through the air.
Okay.
And of course, footballers practice this in a different way. But now with the new designs of footballs, new designs of football boots, you can get the ball to do amazing things if you understand how to kick it and how it moves through the air. So you can apply science across everything. And it's really, really fun. And you can have a great time finding out different things. So football physics is a show that I travel the world with.
Oh, wow.
So we do performances in front of huge crowds. Mm-hmm. And we investigate some of the forces that these players use and how they use them to become the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the takeaway message, that when you understand things, you can do better at them. And everyone wants to do better at whatever they're doing.
Yeah,
and science is a great way to understand.
And of course, if there's a secondary inspiration to get kids to study science, or some kids to study science, if that's what they want to do, or maybe they were thinking about it and you helped to convince them, that's an added bonus, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. If anyone wants to become a scientist, technologist, an engineer, or a mathematician, great, because the world needs them.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where everything is all about science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So especially for young people, they need to understand these things so they know how the world works
mm-hmm.
and they know how to fulfill and pursue their dreams.
Yes.
But again, it's all about education. whatever people want to be, whatever their dreams are, that a great way to get there is figure out how things work, how you work, how the world works, so you can perform better at and have a better experience in life.
And the world of science needs artists and footballers and whatever to do what you're doing, to bring the two or three worlds together, right?
Absolutely. And you'll find that the best scientists are the most imaginative and creative people, because you need to think like that. It's thinking like a scientist. Big imaginations, picturing what's going on far away in the universe. These require like a childlike imagination, and it requires artists to all come together and use the different ideas to figure out what is going on in the universe together.
Absolutely.
And of course, it's more fun when you're collaborating and working with different teams as well from all across the world. Now, another show I do, and I won't start dancing just yet, Colin, but it's called The Physics of Breakdancing. So I used to breakdance
as well
back in the day. Why not? And it's how break dancers use the laws of physics to spin on their head, to spin on their backs, to fly through the air. Because again, it's movement, so it's all physics.
Yeah.
So we have lots of break dancers. I do a little jiggy bit as well, and it gets people excited and engaged in the laws of physics.
Yeah. And further from breakdancing, even that parkour, that thing that they jump from roof to roof. I mean, it's all about judging gravity and how far you can go and how much you need to jump, how much energy you need to use.
It's all science. Again, it's forces, it's gravity, it's understanding what you need to do to be able to land there. And it's like you know me too well, because I used to do parkour as well.
As well.
Why not? Throw it in there.
So take us through the journey of your own study journey. You were a kid, a child somewhere in Ireland. Could you tell us?
Yes, so I'm from Kildare in Ireland. And like all kids growing up, I was just interested in things. Mm. Nothing in particular, but I liked playing football. I liked finding out how things worked. I thought maybe I'd become a sports scientist. That seemed like a great route. But I really liked physics. I liked engineering. I liked mathematics as well. And I found I love astronomy, astrophysics. Mm. What's going on in the night sky? When you look up, what's going on?
Yeah.
Where are those things?
Those pictures we started
from
seeing.
The James Webb Space Telescope. These are phenomenal. Yeah. And we think that the world is everything, and that's all it is. But it's so much more. As you've seen from the images, there are billions upon billions of other galaxies with billions of other stars in them and planets probably like ours as well.
Yeah.
So I decided to study theoretical physics. That's using mathematics to discover the laws of the universe. So we use maths to help us predict and understand what's going on. And then through that, I realized I love talking to people about it. And it's really exciting. And sometimes people might not think it's so exciting and engaging, but I believe it really is. So we started to find new ways of displaying science and physics demonstrations to get people interested.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just existing in a textbook. It doesn't just exist in a lab. This is real world stuff. If you want to be a footballer, use physics. If you want to break dance, use physics too. It's all part of it. Mm-hmm. So we started finding these new ways to communicate science. I started making a lot of science videos, using kind of my knowledge of videos and the kind of theatrical performance side of it to create fun videos, to investigate physics things in a little bit of a different way. Mm-hmm. An example is I teach friction by actually falling down a mountain in Slovakia while I was snowboarding. So these new ways to be able to communicate science and teach physics a different way than it might be done in the textbook. And I started performing in schools, on stages, different shows, and then it led to my television show, which airs on Ireland every day, twice a day, and it's a show called Let's Find Out, and we teleport children onto the spaceship, and then we answer their questions through fun science experiments and demonstrations. And we deal with lots of different science topics and show them what things they can maybe do at home. And then we do some kind of mad stuff that they definitely should try at home.
But you said you did videos, so you're probably on YouTube. So you're quite well known in other parts of the world, not just Ireland, right?
Yes, and that's
and
the great thing
there.
About social media. You can show your work to everyone around the world. And yes, I mainly focus on Instagram. It's Mark the Science Guy, so that's where all my science adventures are. You can see different videos, you can have ideas of what you can do at home, or you can just laugh at the things that I do. And what a great thing and a great opportunity I have is to collaborate with other people doing such amazing work across the world too. So thankfully, after the pandemic, I've been able to go out and travel again and meet other people face to face, because it's that real engagement where you hear people laughing, you see the eyes light up, and then you learn from other people doing great things from across the world as well. And I've been here in Malta working with the guys in Esplora, who are phenomenal, and they do amazing stuff in science education and outreach, public engagement. So a fantastic interactive science centre. So yesterday I went down and did a show all about rocket science and our solar system. So we had a great group of people in their theatre, and we had a great laugh exploring different kind of science demonstrations all about our universe. And we launched many a rocket in there, I'll tell you. But it's so nice to meet other people doing fantastic work, and Esplora is just a wonderful place to visit and has a fantastic team doing amazing things in science.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids,
math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey!
Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap but they were late and they all died.
They put their asses off
the oceans of Pangaea. See, a wooden bada be a set in motion by the same big bang. It all started with a big bang.
It's expanding ever outward, but one day
sick of us debating how we're here, they're catching deer.
We're catching viruses.
Religion or astronomy.
Descartes or Deuteronomy.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Music and mythology.
Einstein and astrology. It all started with the Big Bang.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Mark the Science Guy.
Mark the Science Guy.
Celebrity scientist, educator, and TV presenter. We've spoken about how you got into science, but also tell us a little bit about your football career. You said you played football at a high level.
Yeah, so I played professionally in Ireland at the highest level.
Oh, wow.
So those were my two passions growing up, was sport and physics.
We had Shamrock Rovers.
Well, I played for Shamrock Rovers.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, we had them playing against the Maltese team, Hibernians, the Maltese champions in the Champions League, in fact. Shamrock Rovers, in fact, won, and Hibernians, our team, went into the Conference League.
Okay.
So Shamrock Rovers went into the next stage.
Oh, great.
So you played for them, did you?
For 4 years. It was my first professional contract, yes. I was assigned for them when I left from school from 18 and began studying.
One of the biggest teams in Ireland.
It was the biggest club in Ireland, So I balanced playing with them and then studying for a degree in theoretical physics at the same time.
Yeah, some people would say, how did you find the time to do all that?
Well, thankfully, I really think the two...
Hang on, I know.
Oh, here we go.
You're a theoretical scientist. You bent time. You warped.
All right, you got me. You got me. It's a secret. I didn't want it, but it's out now. Yes, we warped time.
Yeah.
So actually traveled close to the speed of light. Time slowed down for me, and I was able to complete all of my studies.
It.
There we go. You have it.
No, seriously.
Thankfully, I was able to balance them quite well, because I was able to go out and do my training and get all my kind of physical energy out. And then all I wanted to do was sit down and relax, and I was able to study in that. So I was able to balance them quite well. And I did that through the university that I went to, who I ended up playing football for as well, which is University College Dublin. That's where I studied. And they actually are the only university in Europe to have a football team in their top division of football.
Oh, wow.
So I eventually went on sports scholarship there. And that's when my degree became, say, a little more challenging in the later years. I was able to really have everything in one place. Study, football, food, accommodation, everything all in the one place, which really made it possible.
You really need a lot of patience, though, because you deal with kids a lot, right? You're always doing sort of kids' shows or events involving lots of kids. And sometimes kids can be a challenge.
I think they are absolutely fantastic. and it is a need and necessary to be surrounded by kids. They have an amazing imagination, endless creativity and possibilities, and they always have the funniest answers and ideas, and they make me laugh. I teach them, they teach me as well. It's a two-way thing. And it's, you definitely need patience, but that's the fun of it. You're seeing someone maybe exploring and discovering something for the first time, and you're kind of sharing that cool experience together and laughing and having fun, discovering new things and making a kind of collaborative approach, doing it together as well, which is really fun. So yeah, I love working with kids and adults as well.
Now, I'm personally a bit of a Trekkie, Star Trek fan, the Orville fan, so my fundamental belief is that we humans are going to overcome all our problems, some of which we have created ourselves, and eventually maybe reach out to the stars, make peace between ourselves, stop wasting time with nonsense, and actually become a better species. Do you share the same hope?
I absolutely do, because really there is no other option. That is a requirement and a necessity for us to do. You see that we have the greatest challenges we've ever faced happening and ahead of us as well. And the great thing about being human is that we have the possibility to change ourselves and the world. That's the greatest kind of tool that we have, that we do have these issues. But if anyone can do it, we can do it. We have that power. We have that. But the important thing is that we come together and make those decisions. And to be honest, do them as quick as possible. We know that these decisions and actions need to be made right now. But I think the most positive thing from that is that humans have the power to make that change. So it really is in our hands. It's not something out of our hands. We can do something about this. So the power is with us.
What about space? Do you think you'll ever manage to go into space in your lifetime?
I would absolutely love that. It's what I dreamed about from a child. It's what really got me thinking about the world and the universe. I live in Kildare beside this huge mansion house, open green fields. And I used to go out at night and just lie in the grass and stare up and go, what is going on out here? Even you see the moon, you're like, what's going on? Yeah. What is this? So to be able to go into space would be an absolute dream that I don't think I could ever imagine, ever describe. It would be absolutely wonderful watching movies like Apollo 13 and going, wow, imagine you could go up there, see the world from a different point of view, get that overview effect. That would, I couldn't describe what feelings I would get, but it would be an amazing journey. I've done a lot of astronaut training.
Have you?
Because, of course, astronauts are extremely fit people physically and mentally and emotionally. So it's a great way from my kind of football background to push your physical limits and mental limits as far as they can go. How much can you learn about yourself? How much can you develop? So astronaut training is a wonderful kind of challenge to do. So I've done a lot of that. I absolutely love it. And the ultimate would be one day to go to space. Fingers crossed, if there's anyone listening that knows how, send me to space.
Yeah, well, the University of Malta here is sending packages up into space at the moment.
Do you think I could fit in one?
Maybe we could fit in one of those. Who were your science heroes as a kid or when you were growing up? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there was Carl Sagan, who was brilliant. Died too young, unfortunately. But who influenced you?
Well, I'd say Carl Sagan is one of mine. But I have to say, growing up, my heroes were people I knew. My parents, my family, my friends. These were people where I could see their path in life and learn from them and talk to them. I always look up to different types of people. Carl Sagan's an amazing physicist and astronomer. And like you said, too young. But there's others. Bill Nye is a great science communicator. Richard Feynman. Nikola Tesla. I'm a huge fan of Nikola Tesla. I have a Tesla coil at home. Massive one. So big fan of him. But
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Absolute superstar, rock star. But there's many of these people who are doing great work. But I have to, my heroes are people like my mother, father, my family. These people I really learn from on how I can change my mind and how I can form my mindset to kind of have the best experience and hopefully have a positive impact on people that I meet in the world.
I feel you there, because I interview a lot of the researchers and the lecturers from the University of Malta here who are doing this, that and the other, and AI and all sorts of incredible research, sometimes in partnership with other universities. And they are so inspiring, as you say. And most of them as well look like cool, normal human beings. None of that Marty McFly McFly, you know, professor from Back to the Future, crazy.
Doc Brown.
Doc Brown type. So, absolutely. So, yeah, we can find heroes all around us to be inspired by.
Of course. And what's great about kind of science and technology is that it gives you the power then to change the world. And if you change the world for your own family, fantastic. But maybe your community, your school group, your university, or the world as a kind of at a global scale. Science gives you that power. So again, yeah, heroes absolutely everywhere, but it's being able to use that information to have a positive impact.
Absolutely. So, Mark, the science guy, all the way from Ireland in Malta, can they follow you on Instagram?
Please do, Mark the Science Guy, and you can follow all my adventures. You can learn different experiments. I do some mad stuff, and it's really, really cool. So if you want to follow that, it's Mark the Science Guy on Instagram, and then across other social media as well, YouTube, as TikTok, well. All of the above.
Absolutely. And you're on Irish television as well.
Every day. You'd be sick of me.
It's been a great pleasure having you on the show. But my final question, there are some people who doubt certain aspects of science. There are maybe, they have objections to certain things. To each their own. I mean, people have opinions and whatever. I'm not condemning anyone here. But sometimes you hear objections to certain scientific principles, which are quite ridiculous. How do you deal with that sort of thing?
Well, education. Mm-hmm. Education is always and will be the first port of call for things like that. And what is great is there is a scientific method of thinking that everyone uses. Scientists use it, but it is for everyone. It's a way to be able to think. Carl Sagan has a great quote that science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to teach people to use across everything, is to receive information, to be able to verify the source from which it comes from, and then be able to critically analyze, is this information that makes sense to me? And how can I find support for that in other references and documents? And finding and verifying different sources of information. I think that's one of the greatest challenges for us in the world today, where we are bombarded with huge amounts of information. And how do you know who to trust? Mm. But that's when you apply the best method of thinking that we have, the scientific method. Find out, what is the source of this information and can I trust it? If we went through life not trusting anything, we couldn't do anything. Mm. I wouldn't trust this cup of water that you gave me. What's in it? Yeah. But you have to make sure that you trust the people whose job it is to become the expert in that field. Mm-hmm. If you want to become an expert yourself, to question them, great. But we must trust experts, trust the scientific process, which in itself asks you to ask questions. Mm. What is that? Well, how does that work? So that encourages people to ask questions. So that's quite a good thing that these days people are asking questions. But the next step is we need to make sure that we're getting our information from trusted sources. Mm-hmm. Scientific or people who are properly doing the scientific research into how this works and employing the right techniques. And then what we can do is, again, we always must form our own opinion, but making sure that's backed as good as possible so we know that we are getting the best information possible so we can make the right decisions personally and globally. So that is a huge challenge in the world of social media, misinformation, disinformation. It's one of the greatest challenges that young people have as well. Mm. So it's very important that we teach them how to think, how to receive information, and to analyze the source from which it comes, to know how much you can trust it. And that's really something that we have a huge responsibility to do. And all we can do in the end is do our best. But the more we know, the more likely we're going to make the right decision.
Never too old to learn this and to experience science and to embrace what you've just said, right?
Absolutely. And again, I think science and physics are also a route to happiness, understanding our place in the universe. So if you needed to figure out how to use your bank account online, fine. If you need to figure out how to use your phone, we all use science and technology. So learning more about it is going to help us. But it also helps us understand what's going on here. Yeah. That we have a very limited time on this planet. The only planet we know of in the entire universe that has life. And we're here experiencing it. So figure out what's going on. Understand that. And maybe you'll realize that your Monday morning meeting that you don't really want to go to doesn't really matter in the grander scale of your time on this planet. So it hopefully can give you a nice kind of positive mindset for living your life as well.
Well, Mark, the Science Guy, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you and spending a little time with you. Celebrity scientist, educator, TV presenter. Find him on social media. He's got his own website as well. Mark, the Science Guy, on campus here at the the University of Malta. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much.
U fuq campus Mertli ta' Pozzeba wasalna fit-tmiem ta' Minajnejn Barranin l-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa. Jiena Colin Fitz tgħidilkom saħħa inaqdu miegħi mill-ġdid il-ġimgħa ddieħla fl-istess ħin.